Father Yahweh, again, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We ask, Father, that you would be with us at this time, that you would bless us, that your spirit would be mightily upon us. As you guide us, Father, in your word, let your word have free course in us and that it would correct us in anything that we need correction in, and that you would guide us, Father, and lift us up. Let us come before your presence, Father, with glory and singing and joy, because we are with you, Father, the truly one and great Elohim. We ask, Father, that you would have pity on us, that you would bless us. You know that we're frail and how small we are in your presence. But, Father, we know that the love that you've manifested toward us shows us that you think about us and that you've shown us the love that your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, showed to each one of us in giving his life that we might have life more abundantly. So help us, Father, to be faithful in all things, to keep your covenant law, and to do that which is right in your sight. By overcoming this world through love, loving one another, being your servant to the end. In Yahshua's holy name, we come before you asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Amen. We may all be seated. This message is entitled Enjoying His Presence. Enjoying His Presence. We come together to keep the feast to Yahweh and to rejoice before Him. To spend time with brethren of like precious faith. Each of us on our own level, but we are taught of Yahweh to gain the knowledge necessary to gain salvation. We're taught to love one another. This is why we are to live together during the Feast of Tabernacles, so we can forgive each other if we transgress against one another. But we're also supposed to love each other because He first loved us. Turn to Psalm 100 for our opening scripture. Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful noise to Yahweh, all you land. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We're supposed to come before Yahweh, making a joyful noise, and sing before Him to give glory to Him. Know in verse 3 that Yahweh, He is Elohim. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We ain't have anything to do with coming into this world. Yahweh is the one that brought us. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And that's something that most people don't understand. Most people who are walking around out here on the earth believe that they belong here, they're here of their own accord. They never really think about that first cause. They don't think about Yahweh who actually brought them into existence, especially those that believe in evolution, which is really sad because they are denying, you know, the Father. It says in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And that's something I can say truly I've seen here at this feast that we're all very thankful to be here. Makes me feel that song. I changed the words in it because I think it goes, I'm grateful, I'm so grateful to be in the land of the living. Always going thankful interchangeably. But we have to be thankful. We have to be thankful because of the blessings that Almighty Yahweh has given us. We have not done any of this ourselves. And too often people give themselves credit because they, you know, think that they are the ones that have done these things, that it's all Yahweh. It is all Yahweh. So what we want to do, we want to enjoy being in His presence. We want to not only be thankful and give glory to Him through song, through our offerings, through everything that we do. Even the love that we show one another is showing Yahweh that we care about Him. It says, give thanks to Him and bless His name. Too many people out here do not know His name. That's our purpose. That's why we've been called in these last days to fulfill the message and prophecy. See, He says He's not going to return until people are saying, blessed is He who comes in the name of Yahweh. Now, all these other groups out there, these churches and all these other people who believe that they're doing what's right, don't seem to understand that there's a purpose that Yahweh wants us to fulfill. Because we have to get people saying, blessed is He who comes in the name of Yahweh, and that's Yahshua the Messiah. See, that other name doesn't carry any weight. Calling on Zeus won't get it. We have to call on Yahweh. In verse 5 it says, for Yahweh is good. His loving kindness endures forever. And He's shown that loving kindness to each and every one of us. He's shown it to our parents and our parents' parents. Think about where we've come from. We've all come from different walks of life, different backgrounds. Okay? But Yahweh has touched each and every one of our lives. And this is why we have to enjoy the time that we are in His presence. We don't want to try to rush away and get out of His presence. We want to stay with Yahweh as long as we can to receive the blessings that He has prepared for each one of us. Because it says, for Yahweh is good in verse 5. His loving kindness endures forever. That word loving kindness is chesed in the Hebrew. And it's really has a deep meaning of fondness, favor, okay? I hear a lot of people using that often about Yahweh's favor, but do they truly understand what that means? That loving kindness that He shows towards each one of us, His favor is what has given us that opportunity to come before Him and be in His presence. And it says, and His faithfulness to all generations. He has not allowed any generation to go through without His faithfulness. We just have to choose to be in His presence because everybody does it. See? This place should be, it should be so many people here that we should be able to fill up thousands of houses like this. You know? But the purpose is, when you look at it, Yahweh chooses His people, the meek of the earth. He chooses His people who are more or less somebody put it in a different term, like the peculiar. He chooses the people who are not the most affluent, the most educated in the society, because these people are full of themselves. They're not willing to give glory to Yahweh. See, because they believe that they are more than they are. And too often, they get themselves caught up until, like, Nebuchadnezzar had to be brought down to, like, a beast, an animal, for 7 years. See? 7 years he roamed the earth because he didn't give Yahweh the glory or the blessings and for placing him in that position as the emperor over the known world. Turn over to Psalm 95. We'll start in verse 1 there. Psalm 95. It says, O come, let us sing to Yahweh. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with song. Because David had put music to all these songs. So they, when they came before Yahweh at the temple, they sang these songs, psalms, as praises to Yahweh. It says, for great, Yahweh is a great El, and a great king above all Elohim. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh our Maker, for he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, oh, that you would hear his voice. And we want to hear the voice of Yahweh. When you read the scriptures, when you read these words from off this page, do you picture in your mind that they're being spoken by the Mighty One of Israel? And when we build these stories in our minds, we have to do these sort of things because it's just like when you read a letter written from a loved one, you know that person's voice. And Yahshua says, my sheep know his voice. They hear his voice. And when he calls us, we'll know that it's Yahshua that's calling us. It's important that we know who we're in a relationship with. When we're in that person's presence that we love, you feel comfortable. Am I correct? So when you are in that person's presence and you're feeling so comfortable, you can interact. There's a real intimate relationship there. And that's what Yahweh wants from us. And that's how we enjoy his presence. When we're there with him, we feel comfortable. We feel loved. And that's what Yahweh wants us to feel. He wants us to feel that love that he has for each and every one of us so that we can enjoy that relationship and be in his presence. You don't want to be in someone's presence that you fear. It's not comfortable. And a lot of us came from the same background, same form of affiliation, and it got to a point where it was not comfortable. We didn't feel comfortable in that relationship in that situation. And that's because we felt the Holy Spirit had left. It wasn't there. You understand? Yahweh's Spirit makes you feel love. It doesn't, you don't fear it. You don't fear being in that presence. You enjoy every minute of it. You look forward to coming back to it again every time. And see, that's the way the Sabbath and the feast days are supposed to be. You're supposed to enjoy coming before Yahweh to give glory and praise to him, to see the brethren of like precious faith that you love. You know, we don't fear coming together. Oh, I don't want to see so-and-so or whatever. We're going to have this. I'm going to have a headache. You know, you understand? If that's not what we come here for. We come here because we love one another. We come here because we love Yahweh. And we want to enjoy that relationship being in his presence because we know that we're going to benefit. We're going to take away something very positive, not negative. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And sometimes when we come before him in his presence, you know, we know, especially, again, it tells us in the scriptures, each man knows his own plague and his own, you know, heartache. We know what we've done if we've done something that hasn't been right, that's not right before Yahweh. And we can expect to receive the correction because Yahweh knows. In Ecclesiastes 8, we'll start in verse 1. It says, who is as the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. When he comes in the presence of Yahweh, even if he's not in the best of moods, or he's not in the best frame of mind, his face and countenance is changed by being in the Spirit, by coming before Yahweh and being in his presence. We're told to come and rejoice before Yahweh. This is what he wants us to do at the feast. In verse 2 it says, I counsel you, keep the king's command, and that in regard of the oath of Elohim, be not hasty to go out of his presence. Persist not in an evil thing, for he does whatever he pleases. For the king's word has power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps the commandment shall know no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment. But to every purpose there is a time and judgment. So even if we sin before Yahweh and we come before him, we don't want to be hasty to go out of his presence. We want to receive that correction. We want to, you know why? And I'll tell you why. As a parent, my kids will probably agree with this. They may not want to be in the presence when it's time to be corrected. But the Bible tells us he loves those whom he corrects. If he doesn't correct us, we're none of his. And one of the things you'll find with a lot of children, and I've said this many times before, they want attention whether they get it good or whether they get it bad. They want attention. And some, if they don't get that good attention, if they don't get what they feel they need, they're going to get that bad attention. They're going to get it. One way or the other, they're going to get that attention. Okay? So it should be the positive attention that we give them. And not always do we have time. As parents, we get ourselves caught up working, making a living. We don't spend enough time with our children. You think about it. We truly don't spend enough time with our children. But, because, you know, we have to feed them and whatnot, and have a roof over their heads and whatnot. But Yahweh, the way he looks at us, it's up to us to come to enjoy that presence, to come to him. He's always there. You understand? He has never left us. It's us. We're the ones that leave him. We walk away, and this is why it says here, be not hasty to go out of his presence, and persist not in an evil thing. Because too often that's what happens. What happened with Adam and Eve after they'd sinned? Let's look over there real quick. In Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Well, no, let's start after they had eaten of it. In verse 5 is what Satan says. For Elohim knows that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, a delight to the eyes. In other words, it just the seeing it made her feel good. The fruit of it, see? She didn't know what it was going to do to her because she hadn't partaken of it. She didn't know how she was going to react to it. But it was a delight to the eyes. And too often this is what happens in our lives. Satan puts something out there that's pleasing to the eye. That's why in marketing, when you see, the only way for me to sell you a product without you ever having tried the product is the packaging. If I package it pretty enough that it's a delight to your eyes, it could be the worst product in the world. And it could be poison, and it could kill you. But you try it because it looks good. It might even taste good, but is it good for you? See? And Yahweh had already told them not to touch it. Don't eat it. You leave it alone. It's in the middle of the garden, tree of the knowledge of knowing good and evil. You don't need it. But when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eye and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. But it was a wisdom she didn't need. She took of the fruit of it and did eat. And she gave also to her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim among the trees of the garden. They didn't hide before. They were glad to be in the presence of Yahweh. But after they had sinned and they did that which was not right, because Yahweh told them not to do it, but they did it anyway. But you see what the reaction was? The difference? They hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh. And we should not be hasty to go out of the presence. And we should not hide ourselves from Yahweh. We should want to be in his presence all day long. Verse 7 of Ecclesiastes 8, it says, "For he knows not that which shall be, for who can tell him how it shall be? There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power over the day of death. And there is no discharge in war, neither shall wickedness deliver him that is given to it." So we have to come to that realization that the only thing that we can do that's going to be a blessing for us is to remain in his presence as often as and as much as we can. Because as long as we're in Yahweh's presence, guess what? We'll know no evil thing. We'll be learning from him. We'll be receiving the blessings from on high through his Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44 is about the kingdom age. Chapter 44 is the kingdom age. We're going to start in verse 23. This is talking about the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, as it says in verse 15 of Ezekiel 44. In verse 23 it says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in a controversy they shall stand the judge. According to my ordinances shall they judge it. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed feasts. and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall go into no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother, or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that has no husband, that they may defile themselves, and after he is cleansed, they shall reckon to him 7 days. And in the day that he goes into the sanctuary and into the court, the minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, says the Sovereign Yahweh. Now in the kingdom here, you'll see during the kingdom age, they will be offering. It's sort of like they're going back. But one of the things that they will have Yahshua there. And to be in the presence of Yahshua is to be in the presence of Yahweh. You understand? But the priests, remember, those of the 144,000 are going to be there as priests and kings. They're going to be the ones teaching these people that the kids have come along that have not known Yahweh. They don't know Yahweh's law. And they're going to have to be taught. So they're going to be taught Torah. They're going to be taught the covenant. And that's why we have to know it inside and out, so that we, who will be 144,000 in that millennium, will be able to teach them of Yahweh, to be able to bring them into the presence of Almighty Yahweh. Verse 28, it says, and they shall have an inheritance. This is speaking of the priests. I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meal offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, and every devoted thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all the first fruits of everything, and every oblation, which is an offering of everything, of all your oblations, shall be for the priest. You shall also give to the priest the first of your dough, to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat of anything that dies of itself or is torn, whether it be a bird or a beast. It has to be offered properly, killed properly. Exodus chapter 13. In Exodus chapter 13, we'll start in verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that Elohim led them not by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For Elohim said, lest perhaps the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But Elohim led the people around by the way of the wilderness by the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up armed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the children of Israel certainly swear, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away from here with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, Tabernacle, and encamped at Ephraim in the edge of the wilderness. That term Ephraim is like Ephraim, which is the seventh, like the seventh month. Okay? And Succoth is in the seventh month. And Yahweh went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them, to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may go by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night departed not from before the people. Now, we know that the angel of Yahweh was the pillar of cloud and fire. That was Yahshua the Messiah. And they were in his presence daily. Yet, what did they do? They murmured, they complained, but Yahweh was there with them the whole time. And they didn't recognize him. And that was sad. After he had given them this great deliverance and brought them out of bondage, Egypt. Now, he's done the same for us, but he brought us out of sin, brethren. Our Egypt. Our bondage. But we can't go back there like they complained and wanted to go back. And Yahweh let them die in the wilderness. 40 years. Because they did not accept the blessings of Yahweh. And that can't be us, brethren. We have to accept the blessings and stay in the presence of Yahweh and desire to be in his presence at all times. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Just speaking of Yahshua. And it came to pass in these days, and he went out into the mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to Yahweh. All night he was in the presence of Yahweh. This is Yahshua in prayer. And when it was day, he called his disciples, and he chose from them 12, whom he also named apostles, Simon, who was also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and Jacob and John and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and Jacob the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judah the son of Jacob, and Judah Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place, and a great multitude of his disciples, not just the 12, this is a great multitude, and a great number of the people from Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were troubled with unclean spirits were healed. And all the multitude sought to touch him, for power came forth from him and healed them all. And see, here it talks about all of these great numbers of people that wanted to be in his presence. And when it boils down to it, when you look at all of these that wanted to be in his presence, now why did they want to be in his presence? To be healed of it. And what we need to do, we can enjoy the presence. Enjoying his presence. That's what we want to do. Over in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 60, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? But Yahshua, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, just like Israel in the wilderness murmured against Moses and against Aaron. But his disciples murmured at this and said to them, did this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life, brethren. But there are some of you that believe not. For Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who it was that should betray him. And he said, for this cause have I said to you that no man can come to me unless it is given to him of the Father. So it has to be of Yahweh for you to be in his presence. It's not something that you can choose yourself. Many are called, but few are chosen. Verse 66, upon this, many of his disciples went back They turned back and walked no more with him. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't maintain being in the presence of Yahweh or Yahshua. Yahshua therefore said to the 12, remember he started with that 12, and then there were many more disciples, and then there was many of the people. But now he's back down to the 12. Right here it says, Yahshua said therefore to the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, teacher, to whom shall we go? Where are we to go? You have the words of eternal life. I want to be in your presence. We want to be in your presence. And we have believed and know that you are the Holy One of Yahweh. Yahshua answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Now he spoke of Judah, the son of Simon Iscariot, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. John chapter 21, starting verse 1. John 21, 1. And after these things, Yahshua manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself on this wise. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, Jacob and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we also come with you. They went forth and entered into the boat at night. They took nothing. But when day was now breaking, Yahshua stood on the beach, yet the disciples knew not that it was Yahshua. Yahshua therefore said to them, children, have you anything to eat? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. That disciple, therefore whom Yahshua loved, said to Peter, it is the teacher. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the teacher, he girded his coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits off, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out upon the land, they see a fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and bread. And Yahshua said to them, bring of the fish which you have now taken. Simon Peter therefore went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, the net was not rent. Yahshua said to them, come and break your fast. And none of the disciples dared inquire of him, who are you? Knowing that it was Yahshua. See, he had already been delivered, dead. To go to Yahweh, to be on his right hand. Now, he was manifesting himself to them after he had been risen from the dead. And it says here in verse 14, verse 13, Yahshua comes and takes bread and gives to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Yahshua was manifested to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. Now, of course, they were in the presence of Yahshua, and they enjoyed that time. But they had went fishing because, you know, Matthew 28 had already been given to them. Go into all the earth and preach the glad tidings. But they were fishing. See? Not that they were bored, but they were, you know, trying to wait. They were waiting. Joshua told them not to leave Jerusalem until they had received power from on high, the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63, and we'll start in verse 7. There's also a prophecy of Joshua. Verse 7, it says, I will make mention of the loving kindness of Yahweh and the praises of Yahweh according to all that Yahweh has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercy and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. And when we think about the mercies of Yahweh and his loving kindness and what he has done for each one of us, how he has touched each of our lives, yes, we've suffered losses. Yes. Each one of us have gone through some serious illness in our lives or within our family. But we have not lost the faith because we know that Yahweh has given us certain promises that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And that's the great goodness toward the house of Yahweh, toward his people. And as long as we're in his presence, we can grow in that relationship. And we can feel the love that Yahweh has toward each one of us. In verse 8 it says, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not deal falsely. So he was their Savior. He sent us Joshua to be our Savior, because he knows each and every one of our hearts. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. Talking about Israel, but he's done the same for each and every one of us, brother. Almighty Yahweh is there for each and every one of us. But Israel of old, verse 10, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. And too often this is what happens. People leave the fold. They leave their first love. And they find themselves fighting against Yahweh, they don't see it. They can't see it. People can't see it when they're in sin. They cannot perceive what they're doing wrong. They can't see it. They need a Nathan to come to them and say, you are the man. Verse 11, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the middle of them, that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, that divided the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name? Yahweh has not forsaken Israel, brethren. He's still there, waiting for us. And see, each one of us must truly enjoy his presence. If we enjoy his presence, we're not going to want to go out of it. We're not going to want to leave it. We're going to want to stay in that presence with Yahweh. Verse 13, it says, that led them through the depths as a horse in the wilderness, so they stumbled not, as the cattle that go down into the valley. The Spirit of Yahweh caused them to rest. So did you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of your holiness and of your glory. Where is your zeal and your mighty acts, the yearning of your heart and your compassions are restrained toward me? And truly Yahweh has blessed each and every one of us, brother. For you are our Father, though Abraham knows us not and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Yahweh, are our Father. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. O Yahweh, why did you make us to err from your ways and harden our heart from your fear? Return for your servant's sake, the tribes of your inheritance, your holy people, possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. We have become as they over whom you never bore rule, as they that were not called by your name. But we are called by the name of Yahweh. We are Yahweh's Philadelphia Truth Congregation. And we are Yahweh's people. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we have to recognize that Yahweh is there with us and for us at all times. He says, enter you in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are they that enter in through it. For narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leads to life, and few are they that find it. It's not going to be a large group of people. It says few are they that find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly a ravenous wolf. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down, it's cut down, and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says to me, Yahshua, Yahshua, or Master, Master, because he said, call no man master. He's speaking of Yahshua. Okay? Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Then he will say to you, say to me in that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy by your name? And by your name cast out demons? And by your name do many mighty works? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness. And that's, when you look at that, that's the key there. They can have everything else, but if they're doing lawlessness, they're not in Yahweh's presence, and they're not Yahweh's people. Our closing passage is going to be taken from Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, we'll start in verse 1. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were gone, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men. And he shall tabernacle with them. And they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sits on the throne says, behold, I make all things new. And he says, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he says to me, they have come to pass. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is thirsty of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But for us, brethren, we have to constantly enjoy Yahweh's presence. Enjoy the time that we spend with our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. As we're enjoying the presence of Yahweh, as we're enjoying the Feast of Tabernacles, rejoicing before Yahweh, we have to constantly give all of our love. It's important that we share that love that has been shared with us. Yahshua gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And for us to accept that life, we have to show that we love one another. We have to show that we love our neighbor. We also have to show that we love our enemy. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to serve him and enjoy being in his presence. If you'd all please rise at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. Again, we come before you, thanking and praising your name that you've called us out of this sinful world into your marvelous life, to be a part of your people and enjoy the Feast of Tabernacles and to enjoy being in your presence. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us not to tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua, but to be faithful in showing love one to another. Father, we know that this is the only way that we can be in your kingdom, is to overcome this world and to overcome this life. And to do that, we have to love one another. Help us, Father, to be more like Yahshua, who gave his life, but he gave it to cleanse all of our sins. Father, we want our sins cleansed so that we can be in your presence, so that we can serve you, Father, with one consent. Help us, Father, to be faithful, and forgive us for any sins we may have committed against you. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. For our closing,